Boys, how are we going? Welcome back for another episode of the Motorsport Republica podcast.
Number
56, I think we are. Daniel and I, a bit jet lagged.
Away, boys.
From the time difference between Queensland and Melbourne of 0 hours and 0 minutes, but we were working hard at ASPK, so... good to see you again, Tom.
Yes. Thanks for doing God's work up there, boys.
Yeah, well done. What's with this us going to places, Daniel, and interviewing all these people?
It's carrying the boats.
Yeah, we are carrying the boats.
That's true. Now, thanks, boys. Doing the heavy lifting.
And what we... So, Daniel, we were running around the pits, interviewing people, talking to everyone... and we catch up obviously with Tom just before, we haven't seen him since, and we go, oh, what have you been doing over the weekend, Tom? And he's like, oh, so the missus made me wear lycra and do some Pilates over the weekend. So cheers for that, Chich.
I was wondering where that was going. Yeah, I had a weekend at home, unfortunately, and I really did have FOMO. I really did. You boys were busy. My God, it must have been bloody... Yeah, pop stars up there, huh?
Yeah, if you're getting pulled from pillar to post.
I prefer rock star.
rock star.
That was
blasty, blasty.
That was awesome, man. It was great to catch up with everyone and watch some good racing and do some good pods.
Yeah,
100%.
Brent Stevens was an absolute animal.
Yeah, he was a great guy.
Oh, yeah, if you haven't watched it, I mean, as a person sitting at home watching myself, it was unbelievable. His insight was amazing and the stories were so good. Just a bit of housekeeping, boys, before we get straight into it. We've got an event coming up 30th of May with Grip Auto. So these are where these beautiful watches are from. So tickets are $40, drinks, canapes, everything's included. It's at Benzina.
Benzina Stables.
Benzina Stables, 8 Water Road, Preston. So jump online, Grip Auto. It's a watch event for all the watch enthusiasts. So we think watches and cars go hand in hand.
Absolutely.
Don't they
ever.
They're
doing a live pod as well, aren't they?
They're going to be doing a live pod. We're going to be there as well. So super excited.
Absolutely, it's going to be a good night.
That's really cool.
So we might drop a link below and in either Spotify or
yeah,
YouTube.
Yeah, it'll be in the bio.
Yep, cool.
We'll chuck it in there.
Rad. ASBK, congratulations to our pod favourites, Mad Mike Jones and Troy Herfoss. Mad Mike did a treble, went 1-1-1, pole and 2 race wins.
God, that's amazing.
And
so
1-2 in race 2 for Mike Jones and Troy Herfoss. So.
Yeah, it was good racing. Herfoss podium for race 1, but he bloody ran out of fuel in the last corner. He just tiptoed over the line in 4.
Yeah, it's as someone said on our share, it was like must be something in the mics, huh? All the boys, Republica boys, killing it. So
we picked
the champs. I mean, yeah.
We interview them well.
I mean, we're trying to get Kempy on board. If someone can get Kempy, find out where he is. I know he's in South Australia. I'm his biggest fan. Kempy Racing.
You are. We should have got you a signed poster. Actually, we messed up.
That was good.
Give that man some new tires or something. He'll be up there, but has to use the ran out ones, unfortunately. Give that man a sponsor, fucking hell.
Oh, man.
Kemp Dog.
Oh, that's fucking funny.
Nah, it was good.
If anyone doesn't know Kemp, he's does the ASBK tour. Good mate of mine. And he's probably 4 to 5 seconds a lap slower, but he fucking gives it a crack, and that's all you can ask. And he loves doing it. And that's motorbike right.
He's probably got racing. Such an interesting story.
Yeah, we're talking about that.
Yeah,
we got to find out. But yeah, great weekend of racing as we mentioned. Young Maxi Stauffer was flying as well. A couple of podiums for him on the Penrite. That was last year. Penrite Yamaha. Sorry. it was great. It was. Close, well, not for Mike, he was just buddy.
Yeah.
Pulled
so
out
he absolutely blitzed it.
Oh, man, he was lightning.
And he was sick lightning. As well.
What's the go with that track? Is like, could they just make it like a tiny little bit more exciting or is it just...
Get my uncle on the pod.
Queensland Raceway we're talking about, by the way.
So we did a pod with someone. Oh,
well everyone knows.
Everyone knows it was on our story. We did a pod with Herfoss and poor Troy didn't even get to put his ass on the couch and Uncle John was there with a croissant, an old croissant wrapper with a track drawn on it.
And how to improve it.
How to improve it.
Chewing his ear off.
But yeah, it's a fucking go-kart track, isn't it? Like, yeah, it's just fucking simple.
It is. It's very flat.
Yeah.
There's no undulation or anything like that. But
God, the riders must... It's a track day sort of track, isn't it? It's just simple and...
Yeah, very simple. I mean, it's great for spectators. You can sit on top of pit lane and see the whole thing.
Yep.
There's a lot of coverage through the turns. Some like shades and seats, and it's really, really good.
Broadford's probably a little bit more character, I'd say.
A little bit, but it's similar in the sense it's only a few corners.
Yeah. Short lap, minute lap.
Short lap, bike. Minute lap, minute six. One, I think, was Mike's.
6-1 or 7-1?
7-1, sorry. Yeah, 7-1 was his pole lap. So who knows? And he didn't really mean to do that. Like, we caught up with him and he was saying that could have probably gone faster. I just was lucky to bank it in and started raining just after. So ruined a lot of the boys qualifying. But a lot of them were quick throughout the weekend. I mean, again, pod favourite. First ever special guest, Brian Starring, was really quick.
Yeah.
Couple unfortunate little tumbles and that. But yeah.
Did the boys explain why the Yamaha works so well around that track?
No, not really, to be honest. I would assume it's just probably easier to tip in. Maybe I could be completely wrong.
Yeah,
but
I really don't know.
It's interesting because obviously
better braking stability Phillip or something Island like
such
that.
Ducati track, Phillip Island. So
yeah, because
it's flowy,
flowy and faster. The Ducati can stay up at high speeds.
Mm.
But that's Mike's backyard. Really, it's his home race. So
gotcha. So he's grown up on that track.
Yeah, he's done countless laps. But yeah, good to see him all. Good to catch up and see some good racing. Hopefully, a couple more good rounds as well coming up. It's a pretty tight championship.
Yep. And shout out to Redbank Plains where we stayed because it was a miracle we didn't get robbed, rolled. We had to seek out a cafe, which was eye-opening, and they actually had one there. It was incredible. But that place was the epitome of a shithole. So shout out to them. If you're ever looking to go to Ipswich or Redbank Plains, never go there in your life. It's where dreams go to die. So shout out. Just move, seriously. Just move. Fuck, it sucks, man. But, you know, it was good. It was an eye-opening for the track, and we laughed at all the local people and their poverty, so it was pretty fun.
Yeah, as I said, massive FOMO.
Oh, it's fucked. It wasn't good. You would have died there, actually. You can't even leave fucking Diamond Creek, let alone.
It's got to have a 308 in the postcode, mate.
Otherwise, you'd be cooked.
That's my catchphrase.
Boys, MotoGP, Jerez.
Yeah, wow. Well, where do we start? I mean, just unbelievable. Sprint race, crazy.
Yeah.
Issues with water still on the track, and then that amazing battle.
Random, and it rained in Jerez as well. That happens only like once in every 10 years, I reckon. It doesn't rain there much.
Yeah, true. Rain in Spain, never. So,
Crazy. You want to go into our most surprising, most disappointing?
Maybe hit up the results first, Dan.
Oh, yeah, true.
Absolutely, mate.
Jumping the gun.
Let's get on to the sprint results first. Jorge Martin first, Pedro Acosta second. Danny Pedrosa third, Franco Morbidelli fourth, Fabio Quartararo fifth, Marc Marquez sixth, Augusto Fernandez seventh, Miguel Oliveira eighth, Juan Mir ninth, and Takaki Nakagami 10th.
Wow.
Oh. Top 10, Nakagami, I didn't know. Only because everyone crashed.
It was 15 crashes.
Oh, thank you. Top 10.
fucking awesome. And very good pronunciation there, Daniel. Thank you.
Oh, man. Yeah, thanks, dude.
Half Japanese, aren't you? Or something like that?
Ni hao.
Cheshire. Oh, that's
Chinese.
Good. That's Mandarin. I think Ni hao is Mandarin as well.
Same, isn't it?
Anyway. Get going.
that's the top 10 of the sprint. Beautiful. Oh, we want race results.
Yeah, yeah, we all agree both, Daniel.
Francesco Bagnaia first. Marc Marquez second. Marco Bezzecchi third. Alex Marquez fourth. Andrea Bastianini fifth. Brad Binder sixth. Seventh, Fabio Di Gianantonio. Miguel Oliveira eighth. Maverick Vinales ninth. And Pedro Acosta 10th.
Far out. Pedro just giving everyone just a chance.
Yeah, he had a terrible start, then got knocked out wide.
Who knocked him out wide? Who was that?
Zarco.
It was Zarco, wasn't it?
And then Zarco got absolutely crunched by Espargaro in the end as well. They both went off the same
corner.
Was,
yeah.
And so did Morbidelli and Miller. So just some context for the sprint race, we'll start there, I suppose, was there was issues with the track weeping water up back through it or something along the lines of that. I heard.
I don't think there was still some damp patches.
Yeah.
I don't think it dried fully, so.
Interesting.
But it was just so weird because, you know, you would have those three riders that crashed.
Man, right in unison.
Yeah, it was just like oil.
You know? It was crazy.
Yeah, it just seemed like a phenomenon that had to be something that was not water. Like it just
didn't make a lot of sense really. And then
exactly the same crash as well. Just a simple like low side loss of rear.
But literally all fell from the same spot. Yeah. It was crazy.
It was weird.
And then they were saying it might have been wind that factored into it, but
don't know about that.
Who knows? All I remember was they panned to Maverick Vinales and they're like, "Oh, and Maverick's up in the bloop. See you later." He just dropped it too. It was like something silly, like seven crashes in the space of two laps. In
then Marquez crashed, and then
remounted. Yeah. Like,
yeah, I know.
It was bizarre, man. Like
it was one of the weirdest races I've ever watched. But
obviously, what do you guys think of the incident?
True, it was just a racing incident.
Yeah.
Yeah, same as Portimao, really. Like
he was just the unlucky one.
Yeah, he went. Bez ran wide. He ran wide. Binder's always going for that gap. No matter who you are, you're always going for that gap.
Mm.
Should he have yielded at the start? Maybe thought, oh, probably be too wide here.
It's funny. The more I watched, when I watched it live, I thought, oh, Binder was a bit aggressive there.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people think.
And
that.
Then I like rewatch. I'm like, nah, Bagnaia was just probably overly aggressive, and then it was a meat in the sandwich at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's right. He just. Same thing. He just drifted out wide this time. And again, you're going to take that inside line.
Mm.
And he just got caught out at the end of the day.
That's right.
And the other two did well to keep it up.
And, you know, Bagnaia's got every right to be aggressive. He was aggressive against Marquez in the main race. But, you know, it was all fair and love and war there. Like, that was just good racing, which was incredible, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Marquez probably could have copped a couple of penalties. He punted a few people off in that sprint trying to get through. He was very aggressive. But, I mean, you got to be consistent. If you're not going to give him, you're not going to give him. That's fine. I don't mind at all. Like,
yeah, that's it.
You know, don't half-ass it for one and not the other.
That's right.
So at least it was consistent and no one got penalised.
No, I think it was all pretty fair.
Yep.
It was good. Jerez, it just always brings great racing.
And some of the guys that he punted deserve to be punted anyway. So it doesn't
was there matter. Any post-race penalties actually on going up? Because there was a couple of, obviously, incidents.
I don't know about the main race. I didn't see anything come up.
No, I haven't seen anything either. The only, it was just a sprint race of Quartararo with his tire pressures.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was dumb, isn't it?
So dumb,
so
man.
So stupid.
That was so silly. But, I mean, good to see Danny Pedrosa on a podium.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that was cool. That was cool.
That was funny when Fabio assigned his medal for him.
Yeah, that was cool.
That's a good nice banter. Touch. Yeah, really nice touch.
I think Fabio is just happy to be on the podium and spray some champagne.
Still a top five for him.
Yeah, and yeah, like it doesn't really matter. Like it was always a fluke. He knows it's a fluke anyway.
I think Pedrosa as well, like watching the last couple of laps, he was super respectful. Didn't try to chuck it up the inside of Quartararo.
He didn't know they were fighting for third. I saw an interview with him afterwards. They both thought they were fifth and sixth.
So he just whatever.
Yeah. So he's like, I'm not gonna ruin it for it. If I knew it was for third, I would have thrown it up the inside. That's what he said.
There you go.
Fucking spear.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, so that was that.
And he's fighting Cheeseburger Lorenzo, isn't he?
Oh yeah, what's with that? He's fighting Cheeseburger. You see that in a boxing match.
That's
charity
cool.
boxing match.
That's cool.
I hope he punches him in the nuts.
No, Pedrosa punches Cheeseburger. Cheeseburger will be too busy looking at himself to be worried about punching anyone.
Yeah, shadow boxing all the time. Just in the mirror.
Jeez, I must break you.
Yeah,
it tastes like shit. Jump on most impressive, Jimmy.
Most impressive, biggest disappointment and biggest surprise for Jerez. My most impressive was 300,000 fans.
Oh, you stole my bloody most impressive.
Yeah,
it was pretty crazy, wasn't it?
It was great.
And the highest attendant ever Grand Prix.
Yeah,
in history.
Biggest in Spain, isn't it?
Yeah, biggest event in Spain in the year.
It looked fucking incredible on that hill.
Yeah.
You want to be there. I'm actually saying it now. From the past few rounds of Mugello, this is the new Mugello.
Yeah.
Yeah, seems to be, hey.
You boys were supposed to be there this weekend, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Talk about...
Oh, yeah.
We had to go to SPK.
Yeah.
Go support the local boys.
You know.
Pod favourites and stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
I was thinking about that when watching. I'm like, fuck, these boys are talking about going to this event.
I know. How quickly does it come around, though?
Crazy.
300,000 fans, how good does it look? It is. It's the new Mugello. Obviously, Spain's just doing so well at the same time as so many riders.
That stadium section is just the best.
And what was it? There was people lining up at 6 a.m. or whatever it was.
They're in there at 6 or 6:30 with their torches
chanting
on.
Chanting and shit.
Man.
Wicked, huh?
That is just another level of fan.
And the car park for the bikes. I mean, like, it was crazy. It's so good. And so good for the sport. Can Le Mans... surpass that next round.
Well, they got a big Grand Prix of the Year or whatever it was.
Well, they were the previous biggest crowd.
Oh.
So they've surpassed them in 297,000 this round. Let's see if Le Mans can one up them.
They normally fluff it on the finish line, the French anyway, so I don't know about that.
That.
Biggest disappointment for me, Jorge Martin had a real chance to just cement himself in that world championship and to undo his mistakes from the past couple of years. And
I just didn't have to,
I don't know what he was doing, but just didn't have to.
That hairpin corner.
It catches out a lot of people.
That last corner as well. Like watching those MotoGP bikes go into those two corners, they just don't look real.
Yeah, and I think with that hairpin on the back straight is like if you have a lapse of concentration, you're already running it out wide or trail breaking in, and then you can just lose the front so easy.
See Pecco's pass on like the second lap.
Incredible. That should be in someone's most impressive, actually.
Well, that's my most impressive.
Yeah, okay.
That pass on the outside, passing two riders and then turning in, stopping it, not running wide.
Incredible.
That won him the race.
Yeah, it did. It did. It was because
he got
impressive.
Up to second, plenty of time.
Yeah, very impressive. So, anyway, Jorge Martin just should have done better. Mm. Should have just at least stayed on the bike, and he would have just had such a good. And now it's only 17 points or whatever it is, and it's game on in the championship, which is great for us.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But like he'd just ruin himself. So
well, it went from it could have been like a 37-point.
No, more. It was like 40-something points.
Yeah, 40.
But he finished
points.
Second. If he just settled for second.
Oh yeah, it still would have been a comfortable 37 lead.
Point win. Like how different is 37 points to 17 points?
Well, it's two rounds still.
Light and day. Man.
17 points is pressure's on now.
Yeah.
You know, you'd
be nothing.
Feeling it.
It's nothing. Like it's
if it was a sprint race now, it's nothing. And how many people can win?
Yeah.
You know,
still gold, points
golden
now.
Opportunity. Yeah.
Not Maverick Vinales's fraud watch, but.
That.
Biggest surprise was Simon Crafer's wind call. I'm not having it, Simon. I'm not having it. It wasn't winds.
He was scraping the bottom.
Yeah, the bottom. It was damp patches.
He does throw up a couple like interesting calls, Simon.
Yeah, and I love Simon, but they deal with wind at Phillip Island.
That's true.
You know, we deal with wind at Phillip Island. Jerez, mate.
Yeah, there was not much. There was not much.
You right there, Chief?
Sorry.
It's raining outside.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Fucking autism. there's, like, the trees weren't flapping. Like, it wasn't a huge wind. Like, we were at Phillip Island.
I don't think they have trees in Spain. Like, bushes.
We were bloody Phillip Island when old mate fucking, what's his name? We flew off turn one.
Vietti.
Yeah. That was wind.
That was wind. That wasn't pushing Marco Bezzecchi over. So, anyway, Simon, you're good 99.99999% of the time. That 0.01. Come on, bruh. That's mine.
Yeah, nice.
Who's going next?
You want to follow on from your...
Well, I didn't. Man, my most impressive was that Bagnaia pass. And Bagnaia, like, it's funny. I sit there watching the race and I go, come on, Marquez, which, you know, someone like me.
He even put up that story saying how good's Marquez with everyone. Yeah. I almost fell off my chair when I saw it.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Most surprising was Bez's form.
Oh, like, yeah, that's a good one.
Like, you got to remember, he's done nothing all year.
Correct.
And also, he was nowhere at Jerez last year. Nowhere. He was like 16th.
Yeah, he struggled a lot.
Good arm.
Because I remember him, I'm thinking, that's when I started with this. He's so inconsistent. And that was what started at Jerez last year. So that was my...
Do you reckon he's just found something with the bike?
Seems to be.
Yeah, I think so.
It would be interesting to see how he goes in Le Mans now, if he backs it up.
Yeah, you got to see how he rolls on from this.
Yeah.
But realistically, the 23 Ducatis had a good weekend. I mean, other than Pecco, you had Marquez and you had Bez on the podium.
Yeah, so that's right.
Both the model year 23 bikes.
Alex Marquez doing well.
Disappointment was Aprilia's inconsistency. I mean...
Yeah,
it's just crazy how up and down they can go.
You know what's so crazy is everyone's like, nah, Maverick. I didn't even have him in my top five. And I was like, everyone falls into this trap with Maverick Vinales, don't they?
Championship contender and not even, did he finish top 10?
No, don't think so, did he? Let me have a look. Mighty Mav.
Nah.
Oh, yeah, finished ninth.
Yeah, okay.
11 seconds off the pace bar.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah, it was.
It should be an Aprilia track.
And then Oliveira goes and finishes sixth.
Minor miracle.
Eighth and eighth.
Right. So, I mean, that's inconsistent, actually good for him. So he's got better than all. But yeah, it's just crazy. And like, you think they're Spanish blokes back in Spain and...
Aleix Espargaró had a mare.
Oh, he's done.
Yeah,
he's just done. I think time's up for him. And the other thing is, there's so many riders just nipping at the heels.
Oh, for sure.
It's just time to give up.
But on Maverick Vinales, like you can't have those performances if you want to be taken seriously. Like you got to be top six. Yeah, but it's the same thing he always does, man. But I know that's right. But everyone jumped on his back.
I was like, oh, maybe he actually has changed.
Nah, he just keeps you on the hook. That's what he does.
You're right, Daniel.
Mighty Mav. Let me get it up.
Bat Mav.
Most impressive was Pecco's bounce back and his win. Super aggressive. I thought the fighting with Marquez was brilliant to see. It was awesome to see the rubbing and, you know, taking it on. I thought he handled it really, really well. Even from the start, he was just super aggressive and really showed why he's the world champion. It's probably his best ride he's had.
Yeah, 100%.
I think it's his best ride by a mile that I've seen anyway.
It was the ride of a two-time world champion plus some, I reckon.
Yeah, when he pulled out that fast slap 3 laps to go,
that was brilliant. Yeah. That was crazy. I think
it put the nail in the coffin for Marquez because he tried everything to get up to the back wheel, had the attempt, and then...
Yeah,
and going up against Marquez, especially in Spain, like that's as hard as you're ever going to get as a MotoGP rider.
And on a good bike this time.
Yeah, that's
he
right.
He did it with him in Aragon for his first race win, but he's on a crappy old Honda. Mm.
Yeah, and it was hard but fair racing. That's what you want to see.
Yeah, it was brilliant to
see. Imagine being in that stadium section for that moment.
And like, how loud would a
Spanish... Like the guy Marquez has gone like a minute, second and a half, second, 8, 10, 6 steps, and then passed him, repassed him, collided, and they're right in that's the corner.
And you can hear him. It was incredible.
Incredible.
Yeah, that was super impressive to see. Biggest surprise is Joe Roberts' consistency.
Yeah,
and the fact that he is now leading the Moto2 World Championship on 69 points for OnlyFans Racing.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
That's an omen.
I saw the meme, what the fuck is a kilometer?
Yeah, that's so good. But yeah, it's surprising that he's found this form and hopefully he can continues it because he has been very up and down, but... I took that as a bit of a shock. The biggest disappointment was the tire pressure thing.
Yeah. I think that was great ridiculous. Call, Daniel.
What do they do though, Daniel? What's the... They have to police it.
Scrap the rule, man. It's bullshit. Like, imagine that was a championship. This guy goes out, celebrates, goes, oh, by the way, you stripped your championship. Mm. Like, the fuck do you do that to someone? Or do you just turn a blind eye in the last race because they've won a... Like, I don't know. People are probably going to lose their minds over this, but I think it's the biggest... load of crap ever.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
What was it actually brought in for? Safety?
I don't even know.
Like, what's so wrong about having low tire pressures?
It's a Michelin thing and something with safety, maybe with the tires.
But what are they going to do? Like, they're not fucking inflating him that high where they're going to blow up and launch him into space.
Yeah.
Well, it's the other way, isn't it? They're going too low, isn't it?
Yeah, it's too low.
Yeah.
Like, it's just ridiculous. I think it's a dumb rule. I think they should scrap it. You know, because these guys, they're technicians and that are trying to work out, oh, let's go 0.1 lower or 0.2 lower, and that should keep us within that range if your tire heats up to this. And you don't know how the course of a race is going to go. And you don't know how many people you're stuck behind, how many people you got to overtake.
Yeah.
You know, what the track conditions might be like if they change.
Well, they said Martin crashed the first thing in commentary, they said, oh, they might have played it too safe with the tire pressures. Like, fuck.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. You can't be blaming it on that.
No. Like, and they always go to that, the commentators.
At the end of the day, I think they've got to scrap that. And then you move away from exactly that comment and it's more just like, all right, well, the rider's now made a mistake.
Yeah.
And he's got to own it.
He did make a mistake.
Yeah, he did.
You know, you can't blame external factors when it's just you and the bike doing something wrong.
He was pushing so hard into that corner as well, all race, because Bagnaia had that edge over him coming into that back straight.
I think he did,
And he was just like bright, like you could just tell. It was a bomb waiting to go off, I reckon.
Oh, yeah, I think Bagnaia's pressure was amazing.
Yeah.
And I think he probably really started to felt that, because it's the first time since... it was the first time in a while anyway that I can remember that they've battled that close.
True.
Just them two.
Yeah.
Not with a third in the mix. Because when there's a third, you can sort of switch off in the sense, I guess, that, all right, he might have been overtaken already, or, you know, he might see, like, Binder's wheel come in front. That was it Indonesia, that race?
Mm.
Or wherever it was.
I think it was Indonesia.
You know what I mean? You might be like, oh, maybe Pecco's dropped off and Binder's now here. Like, but when you've got the two-time world champ or Mark Marquez, like, remember in Le Mans last year, he's like, oh, I heard Marquez's bike, and he was... getting worried and worried and worried. So I think it just got to him eventually.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's amazing to see. It's just so disappointing to see Martin crash. Like, fuck. He
He's just got to get it all to click.
He's just got to get it all to click, and he would be a world champion. But
bro, Bagnaia can't do it again, can he?
Well, no, he definitely can. And you see it now, especially after that race. You see that Bagnaia is just got the race. He's just got the mentality. Like he's got the race craft. He's got what's the word? It's almost like psychological. Like even he's 40 points down, and he just.
He's
ice cold. Just makes the moves when he has to make moves. Has a shit sprint race, and then does that pass into the back straight. Passes two people around the outside, and then fights with one of the most aggressive and fastest riders of all time, and takes it out. And realistically, he could have just settled for seconds and played it safe, but he didn't. And it's props to Pecco. That is one of the best rides I've easily ever seen, and good on him.
Yeah, it's like one of those things you got to rewatch to appreciate.
Yeah. He is the ultimate Jorge Lorenzo effect. Like, people will jump more on his bandwagon once
he's done.
Once he retires.
Yeah, 100% they will.
But where do you see Marquez after this? Do you think he's found his mojo?
Yeah, I see him winning Le Mans. I see him going really well at in Italy as well.
Yeah.
Coming up. Like, I don't know. I think he's a real championship contender.
Well, he's only the top seven's covered by 33 points.
Yeah.
So everyone's in the title fight.
Absolutely they are. I don't know how much he'll impact it in the sense of going to the top of that standing, but he's definitely looking a lot better. He's looking a lot more comfortable on the bike, that's for sure.
Well, he said at the start of the main race he felt stiff. Because he just a bit tight because he obviously made the mistake in a sprint, didn't want to do that again. He knew he had the pace. And then, as the race wore on, you saw him. He kept a bit of a distance behind Bez, made that move look pretty easy, and then just worked his way up. That was classic Marc Marquez, really.
Yeah, it was a great time race. Yeah, definitely.
So, I don't know. I think Pecco is just the man, realistically, and just mentally. I don't think he's the man.
God, it's amazing though. Like after Saturday night watching the sprint, I go, fucking, Martin's the man. Like,
I know. I thought the same thing. That ride was just fucking cool. Isn't it just
MotoGP?
It's just how good MotoGP is. But isn't once you go back to Europe, cream rises to the top?
That's exactly that.
Maverick fucking goes to shit and Marquez and Thingo 1-2.
Yeah.
Well, shout out to Chris Sepps, our really good follower. He called it. He messages on Saturday night. He goes, Bagnaia will win the race tomorrow.
Yeah.
So he came out and did it.
Tom, who's been shaved? That new segment.
Well, okay, so
who's in your firing line?
My firing line is Jorge Martin. I don't think we've got anything more to add, unfortunately. But, mate, just stay on the bike, all right? Fucking hell. He just settle for your second and your third places. You don't have to go out and be a hero. Win a championship. You've already fucking done it last year. You fucked that up, okay? You fucked up Qatar last year. Jorge Martin, you've just been shabbed.
I love it.
That's great.
Thank you.
I'd hate to be in that firing line.
Yeah, far out.
Watch out. You might be next week, Daniel.
What for?
Nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Scared. Being too big, I reckon.
Oh, yeah. Too many zinger boxes, you know?
I would hate to be Daniel's manager, that's for sure. If I could power play the shit out of you. Oh, yeah.
No comment.
No comment.
You're dribbling everywhere.
Boys, we have to talk. I just don't think we can do this podcast without talking about fucking the elephant in the room, Marini.
Oh, yeah. Great call.
He finished behind Stefan Bradl, the test rider. Okay. Luca Marini, this should be my fucking new you've been shabbed. You've made your bed. You've got to sleep in it now, okay? He's made the decision to go to Honda. He's going fucking absolutely nowhere. He's got to do better. You can't finish behind Stefan Bradl.
He's really having a bad time with that.
Stefan Bradl had the fucking rear soft on to test the fucking tyre for the
race.
He was testing the tyre because everyone else had medium. He finishes 2 seconds behind him.
It's nuts.
Daniel, please fill it in.
Yeah, I don't know what to say, man. I didn't even realise he was still on the grid, to be honest.
He didn't crash at least.
Oh, he was going too slow, bro. Fucking hell.
He would crash because there wasn't enough momentum.
Zarco had a fairly good race. Like, I mean, until he had a fairly good weekend, I should say. He didn't have a good race. But, just so nowhere, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, look, he's not complaining at least. Like, he knows
what he was in for.
Yeah, but I didn't think he would have realised it was going to be this bad. I didn't realise it was going to be this bad.
I don't think anyone thought it was going to be this bad.
Yeah. But
they're in a tough spot, man.
They're in a worse spot, Honda, than Yamaha at the moment.
Oh, easily.
And I wouldn't have said that at the start of the year. I didn't say that at the start of the year.
I mean, I don't think Alex Rins had a... I didn't see him all weekend, but Quartararo, obviously a massive, massive step up on the field in the sprint race, 23rd to 3rd and then 5th in the end, but pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Obviously a whole lot of help, a lot of crashes, but still had to be there.
He still had to be there. That's right.
Still got to keep it upright.
Where did Mir finish?
12th in the main race.
Okay.
Which is not terrible.
That's not terrible.
No. Ninth in the sprint.
He actually had a pretty good weekend. Considering,
bro, that's Marini just nowhere. Like,
it's half a ride, actually, to be honest. Especially 12th.
Mm.
Got points. Imagine saying that about a Repsol underwriter.
Yeah, I know. They're in a world of hurt. And yeah, who knows where we're going from here. What's the talk of Yamaha, satellite bike, Primac? What do you guys think?
Seems like it's going to happen. I mean,
it seems the most logical thing, doesn't it?
It's the talk of the town, isn't it? It's just crazy to think that Primac's not going to be in a Ducati, though.
Yeah, they've been around since the days when there were nowhere Ducati. They've been the OG.
Yep.
Yeah.
Been the major sponsor.
You know, so since like 2008, 2009, whatever it is. Hey guys, it's James from Motorsport Republica. Just want to give a shout out to HJC Australia. They have a brand new helmet coming out, the R412. Make sure you head down to your local dealer to check it out. It's got max defogging, 4 intakes, 3 exhaust vents. It comes with 4 different shell sizes and 5 different liners. It's got lift force and drag force reduced, optimized air ventilation. This helmet is an awesome new street helmet. Make sure you check it out. Go to hjc.com. Go to your local dealer and you better grab yours today. Thanks. So, yeah, I don't know if it's the most logical one because you would think VR46 would go, obviously, because we've said this so many times because of Rossi and Yamaha and all that. But, yeah, Primac's been the OG. He's been there from realistically almost the start. And it's annoying because then we have to redo our 2025 predictions as well.
Yeah, I know. It's... I mean, I think the most logical would be Gresini, to be honest with you. I reckon, but it's obviously not going to happen. But especially if Marquez is staying there, though. But who knows?
If Yamaha and Pramac link up, I wonder if that's a reason why Bez decided to stay at VR46.
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
that's a great call. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, this is inside word. Like they all talk. All those guys talk. Everyone knows what's happening. What do you think, Daniel?
Man, I don't know. It's such a tough one. Whether they knew that early out, probably not. That's a long time to know and a long time to keep it under wraps from coming out.
Mm.
This could prove to be a good play by Bez, though.
Yeah.
If he stay. Like you said, Tom, it's more logical to boot Gresini.
Mm.
But
I really see this VR46 and BMW thing happening because BMW are coming in. And you'd think that they have to go to an existing team to have a whole brand new team.
Well, they're going to have a factory team and then a satellite team, which would be VR46, wouldn't it?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Not sure.
That's what it would be.
Okay. Interesting. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, they'd go in as a factory.
You don't think they'll just have one team?
Nah, they'd have a factory.
So not like a Suzuki coming in, which is...
Well, when Aprilia came in, they came in as Gresini.
Yeah, correct.
So, yeah, I guess they could do that and then split off after a couple of years.
Yeah.
But knowing BMW, you'd think they'd go in as a full factory outfit and then maybe have a VR46 or whoever you're saying as like their satellite factory bikes. You'd have 4 factory bikes, but one would just be like, you know, the Primac version.
It's going to be a few years for them to get up to speed.
It takes 10 years. Yeah. It doesn't matter who you are.
It's
KTM,
not going to happen overnight.
KTM have the almost an open budget and look at them.
Mm.
Yeah, they're only doing good now because Pedro's on it. He's on a gas.
Is the difference there, though, that BMW has a fully fledged superbike team and KTM doesn't?
That'll help.
Yeah.
Because they've shifted their focus in that development towards MotoGP style.
Yeah.
Like in terms of the way the bike looks. And so they have shifted to that in mind, with MotoGP in mind, I should say.
It's a logical thing. I mean, like, BMW is such a big company. A very popular bikes now. That S1000, very popular bike. Yeah, I'm sure they sell fucking loads of them.
Even their adventure bikes are crazy good.
To be a big dog in the game, you have to have a MotoGP team, in my opinion.
Or even when we're speaking with good friend Damien Cudlin, he was talking about testing it as well back in the DC.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether they reboot that whole project, you know, it's seeming more and more likely each day.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
So going back to Yamaha Primac,
yeah,
you reckon it's likely?
No, I didn't see it happening.
You don't see Yamaha and Primac linking up?
No.
It'll be someone else. Far out.
But I don't know who, though. That's the thing. I don't know who.
It seems to be pretty likely, to be honest. I don't know who they're going to get to ride that bike.
The thing is, you've got to remember, if Ducati have two less riders, okay, two less seats, how are they going to fucking fit all their riders in? They've got Aldeguer coming in, Bastianini, Bagnaia, Marquez, Alex Marquez. You got Morbidelli, you have Jorge Martin. Like, there's too many riders to fit into six bikes now.
Yeah, well, they're going to boot.
They'll boot Morbidelli, yeah.
Morbidelli.
Alex Marquez.
Maybe. Martin will go. He'll probably go to Aprilia or full factory Ducati, and Bastianini will go. So they'll make room.
They'll work it out.
Who knows?
I don't know. It'd be good for Yamaha anyway. They need a satellite bike.
It is, of course they do.
It's going to be good for Yamaha, but Primac might win the fucking championship this year. Got to think of that. How are they going to go from winning a championship to going on one of the worst bikes on the grid?
Nah, fuck. Martin's not. After Jerez, I'm off the bandwagon. He's done. He's cooked. Just retire.
Saturday night to Sunday night. 180.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's the autism for you, but.
Yeah, darting eyes and shit. Crazy. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. It's the silliest of silly seasons coming up in the next 6 months.
Oh, it's going to be insane.
And doing our 2025 tips, like, we're all different as well. We're all picked different riders. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, I talked about Alonso Lopez, and he had an absolute mare on the weekend as well.
He did.
He was kind of nowhere, and then, you know, had a crash, which probably leads us to go into Moto2.
Yeah, firm and Aldeguer, right?
Yeah.
Give us some results first, Daniel, and I want to jump into a couple of things.
Yep, race results. Firmin Aldeguer first, Joe Roberts second, Manu Gonzalez third, Sergio Garcia fourth, Albert Arenas fifth, Aigura sixth, Tony Arbolino seventh, Jeremy Alcoba eighth, Celestino Vietti ninth, and Somkiat Chantra 10th.
Boom. Center Aegis had a bit of an off. He got ran up the ass of Barry Boltus, poor bastard.
He got pushed wide as well, and then it was just a bit of, didn't really get the full footage of the.
Nah, I just saw him run up the ass of old mate.
Yeah, so he really unlucky. Unlucky race by him. But so Firmin Aldeguer's first win of the year.
Yeah.
Four winners, four different races.
He looks good.
It's hotting up.
Yeah, he looks very, very good. And as Daniel said, Joe Roberts, consistent. Yeah. Back on the podium, I think pipped Manu Gonzalez. Is that what we just read? I can't remember.
Yes.
Yeah, Manu Gonzalez, pod favorite, third on the finished third in the race, which is fantastic. Yeah. Aldeguer, though, like, just a star, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the ultimate.
And the fans, I mean,
they love him.
Oh, they love him, adore him. Like, he is going to be a star in MotoGP.
100%, and there'll be some good battles with him in Acosta.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the next Titanic, you know, duo.
That's it. That's the two, isn't it? You have to say.
It's seeming like it, so it's going to be an exciting prospect, that's for sure.
Yep, two Spaniards going at it again. it's just over and over. Repeat, isn't it?
The old dude Marquez now, like, and the Italians, and it's brewing up. Next year is going to be incredible as well. I was watching Aldeguer finish the race and winning and going up to the crowd going crazy. I'm like, what makes people popular with the crowd? Like, why have they chosen? I know he's winning. I know he's going well. But the fan interaction, they had a whole grandstand for him. Why him? Like, why do they love him so
much? It's a great take, because we spoke about Lorenzo and he was winning, but no one really just gravitated to him. And then you got Firmin or Pedro and they love him.
Is it the character? Is it the...
It must be something. And maybe you see more of them in Spain. Like, they might be doing more TV shows or more media, true. And they might see a different side of them, especially when they're speaking like the native language.
100%. I think it's definitely the character, and it's the way that they go about their racing and the domination, really. Like, if they dominate a field, or, you know, the amount of times Firmin's come from a long way back and end up on a podium or a top four or five, they're just going like, how good's this? And, you know, it's bringing back Spain to the forefront of racing, and they're just so proud of that.
Well, I think you get the combination. He's a good-looking young Spanish guy. Okay,
you noticed that, did you?
Yeah, he's fucking handsome, and you got he's aggressive and wins.
Yeah,
and then you got the combination of everything else.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, people like aggressive riders.
Yeah,
they either love them or hate them, but people still gravitate to it because it makes it exciting.
100%, and I think it's going back to loving those types of riders because there's not much of it.
Well, yeah, it's
that's a great call.
Becoming
yeah.
stagnant, isn't it?
Yeah, everyone's too puss to make a move sometimes.
But at the end of the day, Marquez 3-4 years ago was overly aggressive in his racing and he copped it. Like he was losing a lot of fans, including us. Like,
but who's never lost one with me, mate? He never had one at the start.
Didn't fucking have it, mate.
Italians loved him until he belted Rossi and that was it.
But even talking to Lukey Luke today, like number one Rossi fan, arguably, and he's gone, fuck, Marquez did all right, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, what? Lukey Luke, shout out. And I did see him like one of his posts as well, so yeah, something's going on there.
I was speed scrolling, I liked that post, and I quickly clicked on like,
speed scrolling, that's good. Fucking hell. But yeah, like, it's funny, isn't it, how the tables have turned, so it's crazy.
You know what, though? Good for Furman. And would be a little bit of pressure off him as well because he came into this championship as, like, ultimate favourite and had a bit of a rough start. And then he's bagged that win back in Europe. And as always, cream rises to the top back in Europe. And we kind of saw all the winners that we needed to see at the same time.
Yeah, you're right. It is a different championship when it comes back to Europe. They're used to the conditions. They've got family and friends there. It must make a world. It obviously does make a world of difference for those Spanish kids.
And they would do thousands of laps.
Thousands
of laps in that joint. So, yeah, good to see. So, thank God it's back.
Something about that track, though. It's
the new Mugello.
Watch.
It's the ultimate.
It is.
It would be so cool to be there.
But every corner just leads into the next corner so well.
It's a motorcycle track to a T.
Great track.
Like even the first corner, that second corner, and then you got this flowing left and then that flowing right. And then
last quarter so inviting and the amount of last lap battles.
But like you could see going to the last corner, like they were nervous. So they were breaking later, then falling off.
Chicho.
Alonso. David Alonso. David Alonso.
The ultimate's when Marquez punted Lorenzo off on Lorenzo corner.
When they named it that weekend.
Well, it's like the ultimate power move, the disrespect. Fuck you, Lorenzo. Nah, I love him. Cheeseburger.
Aaron Canet had a bit of a... I didn't get to watch much of the Moto 2, unfortunately, this weekend. But
that's because we're working.
We were busy at work.
We're on a flight with Buddy Bullfrog.
True. Canet's set for a bit of surgery.
Oh, that's all right.
Fractured his fibula.
Finally wins a race, breaks his leg.
Yeah, apparently it was a pretty big accident on Friday. So fingers crossed he's recovering because he's actually racing pretty good this year.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
It'd be good to see him back up there mixing it with him. Yeah.
Moto3 results, Daniel?
Moto3 results, Colin Vaier first, David Munoz second, Ivanor Tola third, Rusei Yamanaka fourth, Joel Kelso fifth, Adrian Fernandez sixth, Danny Holgado seventh, Nicolo Carraro, 8th. Stefano Nepa, 9th. Angel Piqueras, 10th.
Beautiful.
There you go. No, I thought Otolo won for some reason.
Nah, it's Colin Vaier.
Yeah, there you go.
The big dog.
Daniel's boy.
Yeah, big fan of Colin.
Yeah.
Kelso was there most of the race, 3/4 of the race, and just fell off the back with about 6-7 laps to go, which is really unfortunate. But he's third in the World Championship,
He's doing really well.
And... so really impressive.
Yeah.
Really impressive. He's having a great year and showing the his old team, obviously, CF Moto. They both crashed in the race as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a different team in a way because the CF Moto is now Aspar.
Oh, yeah. Owned by Angel Nieto.
Yeah, and all that. But, yeah, no, he's having a great season. So hopefully he keeps it up and injuries stay away. And thanks for coming. You know, might just build. But David Alonso obviously had a bit of a mare.
Well, he dominated the weekend.
Yeah.
He dominated. He was a second lap faster in a lot of practice and qualifying and then just fluffed the first lap.
He's an animal.
Ran wide in the last corner and crashed. So
yeah.
It was his race to win. And then And then that's the championship. That's all the ebbs and flows of Moto3.
Yeah, and Holgado had a shocker this weekend as well. And that's basically
him and Jacob two. Both had big crashes.
Yeah.
On.
Yeah, they both crashed in qualifying.
Yeah.
And in Q2.
Big crashes.
Big crashes,
when it was wet. So where did Jacob finish? Was it 12th?
12th.
Yeah, nice.
It was still a great effort.
Still in the points.
Well, he actually got knocked back to about 16th with like three laps to go.
Yeah, he did.
And then came back to 12th. And there was I think he led that pack coming into the last lap. So
he's looking pretty good as well through some of the practice sessions. So
yeah, P2 and FP2.
If he didn't crash in qualifying, he might have been 6th or 7th. It could have been a different story. Yeah. So
he's really coming into his own, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. They're really impressed with the commentary. Say like he's really impressed as a rookie.
Yeah, I don't see him staying in that category for too long.
He's tall as well.
He's big, big,
weighty.
Yep.
We could tell with Kelso. I mean, Kelso's not big at all. But just getting chewed down the straights. Yeah. So there's two small straights in Jerez. He just got no advantage at all.
You know the thing, like when we're talking to Jacob at the same time, is he's one of the first Aussie riders to really go down that traditional path.
Yeah.
And when you do that with like Red Bull rookies or whatever, you're hitting all those Spanish European tracks anyway. So by the time you go to Europe, you've done as many laps as
them anyway.
David Alonso or whoever anyway.
And the other thing, you're meeting so much people across that time as well. Yeah. You're meeting the team principals and the people in the paddock.
That's
You got the opportunity.
Yeah.
So that's the big difference as well.
It's such an advantage.
Has Aussie gone through that category? Has it gone through Red Bull Rookies to Moto 3? Like, can you remember another one?
Miller did, didn't he?
I don't know. I'm sure he would have. I guess he would have. I don't know if he did Red Bull. Yeah, maybe he did do Red Bull Rookies.
Because Miller skipped Moto 2, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like, and still proven to be a bloody good career for him as well. So, you know, factory Ducati rider, factory KTM rider, and race winner, multiple race winner. So,
yeah. And then who knows next year?
Yeah, that's it. But going through like Europe when you're young, like that's where it is. And who were we talking to? Was it someone on the weekend? Daniel, and they were talking about Jacob Rulston back in the days when they first saw him, and his old man. Had to go to a track somewhere and he disassembled the bike, put it in the boot, then took it out of the boot because they obviously, you know, were saving money, whatever it was, and then took it out of the boot and then reassembled it just so he could race.
Wow.
Like those are the stories you don't... And that would be so common with every rider on that Grand Prix paddock or wherever you
couldn't are. Couldn't have just hired a trailer or something?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
They were all out of Bunnings. Couldn't get
them.
Met these parents. His parents were lovely.
Really good people.
Yeah, but it's those things. And like, he's going to look back at his career. Hopefully he has a successful one. He already has to a certain extent.
So. Oh, absolutely, man. Mm. I'm assuming he'd still be leading the rookies.
Yeah, you'd think
quite easily.
With 12th. Yeah, for sure.
So
12th. Anyway, it's good to be back at Jerez, fellas.
I know. So
good to be back in Europe.
Le Mans 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And what do we got in F1 world?
Miami. Well, yeah, Miami this weekend. So sprint race again.
Oh, it was a sprint race again.
Not an ideal time for us, but at least I think it's doable on a Monday morning at like 6 a.m. So I always love watching sport live. I hate being on replay. I hate it sort of being like Sunday early during the day, that sort of thing. We talked about that at the start of the pod. The time, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, perfect.
Mm.
So good. Some different news in F1. So Adrian Newey's been in the spotlight all week. Who knows where he's going to be signing to? It sounds like he is leaving, but...
Oh, really?
You got offers from Ferrari. You got offers from Aston Martin.
Well, I'd be putting an offer in for Motorsport Republic and sign me a car.
Who knows? I mean, apparently the Aston Martin deal's off.
What's your gut feeling,
inside
Tom?
World. Ferrari. I think he wants to finish his career with Hamilton at Ferrari. I think it's a fairy tale.
$100 million contract, isn't it?
Who knows?
On the table?
Yeah. Who knows?
That's fucked.
But he's made a career out of just fucking being the best at what he does. Right. Like, he's the best. Imagine being the best in the world or something. He's the best at building a fucking Formula One car.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man.
He deserves to be paid as much as a driver.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, like, he's built his team. Yeah, I mean, he's gone back to the 90s. He's won that many world championships. I think he's won 15 world championships or something. So it is incredible. And then the other big news was Hülkenberg signing with Sauber for a two-year contract, which was... I did not see that coming.
Okay.
Did not see that coming. So
I don't mind that, though.
It's interesting, but it really leaves a hole where Sainz is going to sign, because I thought Sainz, Sauber, becoming Audi in 26, yeah. Boom. But, I mean, obviously I think they might go with Hulk and Bottas for next year, and then Bottas leaving for Sainz. But where does that leave Sainz for next year? I think Guang Wang and Zhao is going to be... he's going to be... This is going to be his last year, by the sounds of it.
Will he be helping the Chinese marshals in the round after in Shanghai?
Yeah, he'll be back in the iPhone factory.
Tight nets.
Yeah.
Daniel shaking his head. Still laughing, but you're part of the problem, Daniel.
Yeah, Daniel, you actually are the problem. It's encouragement, it's the worst thing, isn't it?
I got a message later on the night. Yes, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Go ahead, boys.
Show them how it's done.
Love but, the casual racism.
But yeah, that's not a lot of F1 news. It's just been a lead up to another boring track at Miami.
Yeah, yeah. What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do with Miami? Is it got a big contract to stay there for a while or what?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I mean, they've built a circuit there. I mean, obviously it's a street circuit, but they have to spend a lot of money. Don't know. We'll see. I think this year's gonna be interesting if they don't get a big crowd or anything. But
are they gonna get a big crowd, man?
Yeah.
All the superstars.
Yeah, just it's America and F1's just taken over. And have you boys just going back to MotoGP actually? Have you noticed that it's, I don't know, they've kind of changed their tactic this year. Like in this after the sprint race, they kind of did this big podium thing in front of the Americans. And then they did it in Jerez as well, in front of the stadium section. And yes. I thought it was a really cool touch.
Yeah, I
like
it.
And it's different, yep. But I love it. Like, and everyone's partying and it's just different. I thought
it was, I like it as well.
I wonder whether they'll do Phillip Island, Miller Corner maybe.
Turn 12.
Or Miller Corner?
Nah, not Turn 12. No way.
Oh, there's no crowds there anymore, is
there?
Oh,
yeah. Maybe Southern Loop? Turn 1 or Southern Loop?
Yeah, Phillip Island has no good place to do it, do we? Fuck.
Nah, it'll probably just be on the front straight.
Yeah, it might just be on the front straight, to be honest.
Turn 1 wouldn't be bad.
But you know what, though?
Yeah, Turn 1 would be cool. Turn 1 would be good.
You pay for the tickets to be on the straight to appreciate those things. I know that's a very harsh of me.
You know what I think, and this is a very rude thing to say, but like I see a front straight fan as like an NPC, like not a real fan.
Oh, that's tough. Because I think like at Formula One, Albert Park, all those people that we follow, the Molly Bristows, the this and the those, who are like influencers at F1, they're all on the front straight for the start. A Danby's a front straight man.
Oh yeah, that says a lot. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but oh yeah, 100%. Unless if you like taking opioids and popping pills, then yeah, you like being on the front straight.
But you know what though, that's a fucking harsh call, Jim.
Nah, because man. If you want to, okay. Do you watch?
I wouldn't sit on the front straight. No way.
But you're. Yeah. Guys, it's such a harsh call. But like, you like to see real racing. Like, yeah. You like to see overtaking and passing. When you go to watch a motorsport event, all the excitement and all the skills happen in the corners. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see Pecco Bagnaia, doing my Donald Trump now, go down a front straight. I want to see them throwing it in the turn one at Phillip Island.
Yeah. I've never thought of that before. But
it's not a real fan grandstand.
I don't like the front straight. I think
I've never been there. I've never watched it.
But they just go boom straight past. The only good thing is
you get a sore neck.
Yeah.
You get pit stops, you get the start of the race. That's really the only thing.
Boring. Daniel's a Southern Loop man.
Siberia, sorry. See a lot of the track.
Yeah, we're turn one. We love turn one.
Turn one's
turn
awesome.
One's not bad.
Yeah.
I just love seeing them break into Honda as well. That's my thing.
Inside of turn four at Phillip Island's really good when we got to watch Aussie Superbikes there. Yeah. And you can watch
we're gonna try to get access to that MotoGP.
Yeah,
because you can walk down there if you've got passes.
You got to
media passes.
If anyone's listening as well, write in messages. If you sit on the front straight, I want to know why. I want to know why, because I reckon that would be boring.
It'll be
shit.
For the start of the race, I reckon.
Well, fair enough if you want to jump the fence and get someone's knee slider.
That is the only one.
But what's the chances of that happening, sheesh?
Well, nowadays, look, all the riders launch their boots and stuff, sprint race, main race. They get that much crap these days. Like,
yeah. True, but still, fuck, that's a big gamble for not paying off.
Yeah, 100%. Just run to the
start. Run from... That's half the reason why we're at turn one as well. Because you see half a track and then you can run up and then try and catch a boot or whatever and see all the thing. But yeah,
it's an interesting point you make.
It's harsh. I know it's harsh.
I'm with you. I think it's...
I wouldn't pay the money to be on a front straight for any motorsport, for F1 or...
It's normally one of the most expensive tickets as well.
Yeah, because it's... The Nuffies pay for it because they think it's the number one spot, but it's actually not.
I think you're right. I'm going to go back to what you were saying about it's probably for more of the people who watch it for the drivers, as in they obsess with a certain driver.
Well, not
for
the that's why you're saying all the Instagram.
Not for the races. Yeah,
it's not for the race.
Yeah. Because when they finish, they wave at the crowd. They sometimes come on over.
Yeah.
You're right. It's a different fan. You're right.
It is a different fan.
Yeah. So actually, your point is actually 100% correct.
Yeah. Like you would rather be on the back straight of Albert Park. Oh, sorry, like the back chicane. That's an amazing spot. That's where you see the talent. You know, like of course there's talent, but driving a straight line. Like, you can do that in your Ford Fiesta.
Hmm.
No, Chidge?
No, fair point. I'm totally with you, man.
Nice, huh?
Yellow, yeah, looks good, mate. Yellow, boys. Grip Auto?
Yeah, get around them.
Ducati Yellow?
It is, yeah. Very nice.
90s.
Got the blue?
Oh, yeah.
Ferrari's going to be running the blue this weekend.
Oh, true.
That's an omen. That is an omen.
I'm excited to see that.
It does throw up a interesting result, Miami. Oh, except Verstappen dominating.
Yeah, interesting result for second place.
Yeah. Yes, it'd be interesting.
Who went good last year there?
Oh, I don't know.
Prez do
Bro, I can never tell you who went well at the American or the Middle Eastern races because they're all, I'm either half asleep in the morning or they're boring as fuck.
Yeah. There's no in between.
There's no in between.
Apparently Max is going to have some talks with Mercedes.
Oh,
What do you think
don't
about
know.
That?
I don't know about that. I think obviously Max is going to go up to 2026 and then decide what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Does he really want the pressure of going to Mercedes and like having all new people around him? Like, I feel like his life is so comfortable.
Do you reckon he feels pressure though?
Well, the thing is though, like he doesn't give a fuck anyway.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, like, but like,
yeah, that's yeah. I get
why
what
would
you're
he?
Saying.
Why would he change his lifestyle for no reason? Like,
maybe he wants to do a Rossi.
I don't think he cares, bro.
He seems we always say it. He seems that kind of guy that contract's done. You know what, boys? See you later. I'm out. He doesn't care if he's 10-time world champion or 3-time world champion.
Like. I think we spoke about this. He could be the guy where he retires. He doesn't care. But he also could be the guy where. Yeah, he's like, I need a challenge.
Yeah, who knows?
I want to go to Mercedes and then win on that.
Hmm. Who knows?
Does he have any tie to Mercedes at all, like previously with his old man?
I don't believe
nothing.
So.
Nah, Red Bull through and through, all through his junior career. They signed him as like a 12-year-old kid or something.
So Red Bull would just throw so much money at him, wouldn't they? Because as Mercedes, do you have to be monster? Like with Hamilton and everything?
Probably do.
I wonder if they've got it on their... car? Do they have it on their car? Do you know?
I haven't seen it on their car.
It just seems like most Mercedes drivers that I remember have always had been Monster, which like energy drinks is a massive thing now for contracts.
Well, the thing is as well, I think Hamilton was a personal sponsor of Monster, and then I think they took over the Mercedes sponsor as well.
Yeah, it's like when Marquez was with Repsol, like they had the clause that if Marquez left, then they leave as well. So it's how big a driver is and energy drinks are now to contracts. But if Monster throws massive money at, you know, I don't think it matters to Max anyway, but if they throw, like they would have to throw massive money at it or Red Bull would throw even bigger money just to keep him there because it's such a marketing ploy, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't see it. I just had a quick dive. I couldn't see it on their car.
No,
the Mercedes.
I don't think it does.
It's more of a personal sponsorship for Hamilton.
I'm surprised that they don't do energy drinks, don't do more on the F1 cars.
Mm.
Imagine a Monster Energy F1 car. It'd be kind of cool.
That'd be pretty dope. Stick it on the Sauber now. It's the same colors.
Yeah, that's right. True. It looks so ugly, that car. I thought I liked it, but it's disgusting.
It's going to look good as an Audi, I reckon. It'd be red and gray probably or something.
Yeah,
like
that'll go hard. Mm. That'll look tough as.
Yeah, that's pretty dope. Jet Lawrence, dominated, but he won on the weekends.
Has he been as dominating as he was last year?
Supercross is so much harder. He's in motocross, he went 24-0.
And there hasn't been another season of motocross yet?
No.
Okay.
And he's obviously racing supercross now and leading the points and taking it up to Cooper Webb, who is a dog in the fight. So keep your eyes on him, all your listeners. Jet Lawrence, Monster Energy Supercross. He's the man. Yeah, he's going to maybe take it out again. So he's an animal.
Yeah.
Aussies, mate. We do it well. Red Bull, not Red Bull. Yeah, Racing Bulls. Daniel Ricciardo, any talk of him? What's going on there?
No, nothing really. I think he, I think that was all a fluff that he's got three races to prove himself.
Just trying to put the pressure on him.
Mm. I don't think he's doing anything completely wrong. He's just had some unlucky,
he's been unlucky
results.
Unlucky.
He got taken out. Well, not taken out, but he had an accident, obviously, in Japan with Albon.
Yeah.
And then got unlucky last weekend. So we'll see.
See what happens.
He was going all right before Stroll ran up his ass.
Yeah, that was a fun.
Do you remember? You remember Tsunoda was nowhere in China, and then
surprising.
Isn't he still going around the track?
Yeah, true, 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 true. He's helping the marshals get Bottas's car out there.
Little fella.
That's all she wrote, I reckon, boys.
Yeah, boys, that's all I got.
Tips. No, we don't do that anymore.
No, because it's too on the fly. We have to think about it.
Yeah.
Actually, can I just refer back? I wanted to do this from now on.
And I didn't ask, sorry, while you looked that up. I didn't ask. I got a little too busy and I just completely forgot to ask for our fan questions. So that'll be next week.
Ah, beautiful. I just wanted to go to our tips for this weekend of compare how we went. So, So Daniel went Pecco, Vinales, Martin, Acosta, Bastianini. So you got.
I think I got Bastianini and Pecco right. That was about
it. You did. I had, Pecco, Mark Marquez. James, well done. Pick the top two.
Oh, yeah, I did too.
Pedro Acosta, Jorge Martin, Bastianini got fifth. You got three out of five.
The Beast got fifth, did he?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Fuck. It was quiet over that weekend, wasn't he? Didn't hear much about
Bastianini. And I had half a shocker. Binder looked all right. Yeah. He looked better than normal, but he...
That was a big call, though, Chidge.
Oh, you had to throw it up. You got a fucking bit of...
Hey, proud of you, bro.
Thanks, bro.
You're a front straight man, but that's all right.
that's going to be the new call. We see it. Influencers say, hey, she's a front straight girl.
That's good.
Bolly
like
Bristow. How you going? Brad Binder, Jorge Martin second, obviously. Yeah, didn't. Vinales third, out of shocker. Mark Marquez fourth, Pedro Acosta fifth. Pedro Acosta actually had a fucking massive crash at warm up.
Yeah. Oh my
fucking
God.
Massive.
Not much runoff, actually.
No, it's scary. Who did
that to replace the wall?
Yeah. So I think that's going to be a big confidence hit before the race as well.
Yeah, true.
To a certain extent. Yeah, I mean, true. You know,
when he's such a Mark Marquez, like he used to do those crashes all the time and then go out and still either win or like put it on the podium, whatever.
But he
it
went
is.
Back to 16th or 17th, didn't he? And then I think caught his way back
I think
to
he
10th,
got bullied in the first corner.
Yeah.
First couple corners.
I think he'll start to find his feet a little bit more, but it'll be a bit of an uphill battle these next few rounds in Europe.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these stronger guys will really ramp
so
it up.
So is it Le Mans and then...
Magello.
Magello's going to be a good
Is that
race.
Back-to-back?
Normally, they're a week break.
I think it's a week break in between, yeah.
Oh, my God. How good's that going to be? Yep. I've got some good races coming up. This is where it's at.
This is
our winter is fucking the best.
It is.
Takes me back to COVID 2020. It was the only thing we were watching. Fuck, it was good.
Yeah, true. It was the only thing that was on, wasn't it?
Yep.
Fuck, I love MotoGP.
Fuck, it's the best. And I love... Mark Marquez.
Never thought I'd. I'd
and on I'd that
never,
note, we
I
will
never
go.
Thought I'd see that. See you, fellas.